Happy Mother's Day to everyone here. This is kind of a special Mother's Day for me. This is my first one without my mom. Mom passed away in June of last year, and so this is a different one being without her. But I do know that Mom is smiling down on Pleasant Chapel. I've said this so many times here that she would just have adored this church and all of you people here. And I know she's. She's got a smile on her face this Mother's Day here at Pleasant Chapel. So here we have that. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, starting in verse 16. And it goes, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We are in a series talking about the Holy Spirit, and we began this last week, and we're going to spend 5 weeks dealing with the Holy Spirit. And the more that I delve into this topic, the more I look to understand the person of the Holy Spirit, the more and more I'm convinced that this is what we need. This is what we need. We as individuals, as followers of Christ, I think this is where we grow. And I think perhaps we as individuals, followers of Christ, too often neglect this. We neglect the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we as a body, Pleasant Chapel, I think, the empowerment that we get from the Holy Spirit, I'm becoming more and more convinced. We need to spend more time here. We need to understand the Holy Spirit as he functions in this body. And then globally, as the church, big capital C, that we are not utilizing the Holy Spirit, his presence, with us here in 2017 in this world. And the more I delve, the more I dig, the more I pray over this, the more I see that we need the more of him. Last week, some of the things that we talked about was just who is the Holy Spirit? And we found that he was the third person in the Trinity, and he has always been. And he was promised way even before the time of Christ that he would come, that there would be this new economy of how God is going to deal with his people through the presence of his Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, we spent some time on this, that when he was getting ready to leave, when he knew the crucifixion was about to take place and he was going to ascend and go to be with his Father, he said, it's going to be better that I leave. Better that I leave so the Holy Spirit can come. And we need to just think about the import of that statement as well. It's better for Jesus to leave because of what happens when the Spirit comes. And this presence of the Spirit is this continuation of what God has been trying to do throughout all time. To be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us through the Spirit. So I hope that as we go through this, that we are delving into this a little bit more deeply, maybe than we have in quite a long time, but we hope that there is a personal connection, that it's not just a head game, that we're just getting some facts about the Holy Spirit and things that we could recite if someone asks questions about the Holy Spirit. We are hoping here that through this, that relationally, we are going to come close to God through the presence of His Spirit. And we talked a little bit about how that happens. When does the Spirit come? And we found several scriptures that told us that when you trust in Christ and when you receive Him, and when you put your faith in Him, it is at that time that the Holy Spirit presence comes with us. And it's the same presence. It's the same person that was with Adam and Eve in the garden. That same person, that same power, that same God that was present with Adam and Eve. And then later with Moses in a bush. And later with Israel in their temple as they traveled around. Same person. Holy Spirit was with them. Same person as he came in human form, Jesus Christ, is with us through the Holy Spirit. Same person that met Paul on the road to Damascus and changed his life and changed the world as a result of his work with Paul. It's the same person that nudged your tail to get out of bed this morning and come to Pleasant Chapel. That same person working on your heart. I don't believe that any of us can fully ever can fully comprehend or appreciate what that presence means. And I don't think we'll ever fully achieve the potential we have as followers of Christ knowing that the Holy Spirit is here. And I kind of was reviewing a little bit about kind of the tone I've been using here the last couple of weeks about this. Like, this isn't a reprimand. I'm not saying that, you know, we're not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not connecting. You know, this isn't a reprimand, but I think that we just need to constantly be reminded of that awesome power that we have. We need to revisit it. It needs to start with this renewing of our mind, this thinking and knowing that this presence is here, and then respond and react accordingly. And there is a part that we need to play in that, and that's some of the things that we're talking about. What is it that we are to do here? What is it? How do we connect with the Holy Spirit? And so when I ask these questions, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit is here with us right now? You know, it's my job. I've been saying this several times. I get to throw out questions. I don't have to give you answers. I'm just a question guy. I get to throw this stuff out for you guys to consider and think about. But I want you to know this, that as we point to scriptures today, or if there are statements that are made and they begin to work on your heart, that's not me. That's not me. I'm shining light on something. And if it is working on your soul and your being, that is the presence of the Spirit working. And we need to be aware of that. That's not my words. That will be the Spirit speaking. And I can attest to this. There's been several times where people will come up to me and say, you know, you said something to me one time in a service here or in a lesson, and they spout this thing off about something that they said. And I'm kind of, I never said that. But that's what they heard. And I know that was the Spirit taking some words that maybe I spewed out, but it was coupled with the Holy Spirit, and that was something that they needed to hear. And so I just nod my head and go on. And hopefully it was a good thing and not a bad thing. But that's happened several times. And you know that that is the power of the Spirit working there. So this passage here that we start off here, it says, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Today we're going to focus a little bit on, last week we talked about who the Spirit was, who the Spirit is, and how we connect with the Spirit. Today I want to talk about how He strengthens us. And that first part of that verse talks just about that. Out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. This strengthening he's talking about in your inner being. We talk about strength. It's not power to go out and do something physical. It's not about getting macho-ness and having, you know, that kind of physical strength. This is strength that's given to our inner being, where it matters the most. The strength that's given that has to do with your soul, with that part of you that is you, the part of you that is eternal, that's going to go on, the part of you that relates beyond the physicalness of this world and into the spiritual side as well. And we're strengthened with power, the passage says, with power, this energy to do stuff. We're strengthened through the Spirit. The Spirit's not the power. The Spirit is giving the power. I think that's a misconception we get sometimes with the Spirit. We think it's, you know, this eebie-jeebie kind of, you know, electric feeling we get. No, the Holy Spirit is a person that gives us power. And we need to recognize what that means. What does that mean to be in need to be strengthened? Well, what's implied there is we must be weak. If I need to be strengthened in my innermost being without the Spirit, then I must be weak without Him. And I need to acknowledge that. I need to know that this strength is going to come from Him because I have this need and I'm weak. So if we are given this strength, what is the purpose? What is this strength for? And I found several things here I wanted to share with you in regards to what this strength in our inner being is to be used for. And the first one is to witness. It's to help us witness in our lives and in our actions and our words. A couple of passages from the book of Acts that Luke writes in Acts 1 and verse 8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth." When these followers, when the disciples were going to receive the Holy Spirit, it starts small. And you're going to proclaim me in Jerusalem, and it's going to work out to all the ends of the earth. And that's for us as well, because we're still part of what happened 2,000 years ago. We are part of this empowering of the Holy Spirit that is to take His name from Jerusalem and onward. In Acts 4 and 31, When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So when the Spirit of God came upon these people, the Holy Spirit came, they became bold. And you know the stories of the disciples that, at the crucifixion, they all ran. But when the Holy Spirit came, they were strengthened. They were bold. Even to death, they were given this strength. And we too are given strength through the Spirit to witness. The second thing that we can do with this strength that is given is to persevere. Same book in Acts, this is the story of Stephen. And Stephen is about to be martyred. And it says in verse 55, but filled with the Holy Spirit, he's about to be stoned. He gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And he boldly declares, Jesus, receive my spirit. He was able to persevere through this terrible martyrdom that he had to face with being stoned because of his faith in Christ. That strength was given by the Holy Spirit for him to persevere. The next thing we have, there's passages so that this Spirit, this Holy Spirit that's given strength to us, helps us to resist evil and temptation. Paul writes in Galatians, in chapter 5, he says, live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul talks so much about this battle between flesh and the Spirit. We, by nature, want to live by the flesh, but he says, don't live by that nature, live by this nature, which is of the Spirit. And they are at odds all the time. There's this battle that's going on, but the Spirit is going to allow us to battle those things. And those, what are those things that we need to battle? Well, the works of the flesh in verse 19 are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery. It goes on and on. All these things, drunkenness, carousing, and the likes of such things. All of those things are of the flesh. But the Holy Spirit strengthens us so that we can resist that temptation, that evil. The last one that I noted here, and this is not an exhaustive list. This is just some things that I found here. The strength that's given is to strengthen us, the church. In Ephesians 4, again, Paul says, he who descended is the same one who ascended from above the heavens so that he might fill all things, the gifts he gave. It's the Spirit that gives these gifts, some of them to be teachers and some apostles and some prophets and so on, to equip the saints, y'all, to equip you, to tool you. I'm going to strengthen you with things that you can do so that the church can be built up in the name of Christ. So that's another instance of what this strength is to be used for. So what then is the purpose? Once we're strengthened, we have these things to do, so that what? What is it we are supposed to do? So that then what? Well, if we go on from our passage, it's right here. So that you're going to be strengthened from the Holy Spirit. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So the Holy Spirit is present with us, and he is going to enable us by strengthening us to do this. And as I read those three verses there, love is in every verse. That is the so that we can love. We can have love, we can be love, and we can give love. That is the purpose of this strength that we are going to be given. And it's good to know that this presence is with us. And the more we contemplate it, the more we have it here, and the more we experience it here, we find that it's good, because that is what was originally intended. We were to be with Christ. Christ is to be with us. So that Christ is in us. And we are grounded by love. Not something we did, it's grounded that the love God did. We are grounded and rooted in His love. But you know, love is not a one-way street. It's incomplete if it's not loved back. We are grounded and rooted in love, but that stops there if we aren't loving Him back. That's another purpose that the Holy Spirit is within us. There is someone in here, someone in here, the verse says, that surpasses knowledge. So all the facts and things we can put together, this person surpasses that knowledge, but yet Paul says we can know him. We can know someone that surpasses knowledge. It's just incredible to think through that. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit right here, right now, today, in us. And the things about him surpasses all knowledge, but yet we get to know him through love. I thought it was interesting. I probably math geeked out on this just a little bit as I was reading through this passage. Paul's trying to describe this love. And, you know, he says, so that you can fathom how wide and how far and how tall and how deep. So that's, you know, we normally measure things in three dimensions, you know, X, Y, and Z. He goes, he's got four dimensions in there, you know. He's got breadth and width and height and depth. Well, you know, that's pretty good because he can't measure it. I thought it was kind of interesting here. The math guy in me says he's using four kind of dimensions there. How do you do that? That's good because we can't measure him, but yet we can be full of something that is beyond measure. So it seems difficult to do. You know, how is it this is going on? How is it that I am to connect? It seems kind of hard to do here, but you know, there's a lot of action that's going on here. And if we read these passages again, there's a lot of work that's being done. But it's interesting to see who the subject is on who's doing the work. Out of his riches, he strengthens. Christ dwells. We have been rooted and established in his love. We are given love that is immeasurable. How do I do this? I want more of this. I want to be in deeper relationship and communion with God. How is it that I do this? Well, it seems like the hard part is done. And, you know, like so many times, the solution seems sometimes to be very difficult. And too often we try to overwork it to find some solution. But when in fact it's sometimes just a lot more simpler than that. How is it that I connect? I was reminded of this week when I was practicing golf. Have I ever used any golf analogies since thanks. Appreciate that, Harley. It's a whole long, it's not the same one. But, you know, I'm out hitting balls and I'm struggling. They're all gone over the place. And I was reminded that in order for me to hit more solidly, more consistently, more straight, it wasn't difficult. I was trying to make it difficult. I was tensing up and I was squeezing hard and I was forcing the right shoulder and it was just work and do and, you know. And it was like, remember, relax. And it was just this simple, loosen the grip, shorter swing, slower. It isn't hard. It was easy here. And as I was hitting golf balls and I was sermon prepping too. I was multitasking, but I was thinking, you know, that's exactly it. When we're trying to think about connecting with God, it's this simple thing. The hard work is done. Our part is simple. We are simply to grasp and to know. Grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. To grasp. We don't have to work hard. Grasp. Make it your, take it. Make it your own. Got it? Not having to work at it. It's already there. Make it your own. No. How can we know something that surpasses knowledge? How do I do this? You know, give me some of that. How do I know this? I don't have to do the work. It's already been done. And if any of you have ever been through Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God or read anything by Henry Blackaby, he has a statement there that I thought's really good. How is it that I know? How do I connect? How do I get this relationship to happen with the Holy Spirit that I may know the Father and the Son? He says this. He said, God speaks to us. This is how we come to know him. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. So it is a knowing thing. It comes through experience. And right there, I think Blackaby's got a hit on the head. How do we do this? Well, we come to know him through Scripture. We come to know him through prayer. We come to know him through the church. We come to know him through our experiences in life. So as we do this, as we are going through this, I claim that this is an easy thing to do. This is something we take. This is something the Holy Spirit is here. I acknowledge that. I want to know he's there. And then I'm going to come to know him through these experiences. I think there are three things that help me understand and help me do my part in connecting with the Holy Spirit. The first one, I have the word acknowledge there. We need to acknowledge this. In John chapter 16, Jesus is telling his disciples, I've got many things to say to you, you can't bear them right now, but when the Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will come in truth and He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is going to be the giver of truth. So, what does it mean with acknowledging? Well, it means this. When I am in Scripture, when I am in prayer, when I'm in a small group in my church, and truth comes, well, the source of the truth is my intellect? No. This passage says the source of that truth is the Holy Spirit that is in me. And we need to acknowledge that. He is the working force here. The truth was given by Him, not by me, not by me thinking through that. It was given. Back up to my time on the driving range with the golf club. You know, I was in the middle of doing something else, and I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm hitting golf balls, and I'm shanking them all over the place, hitting bad, and he's like, "Oh, relax." You know, and it started grooving a little bit more. I need to acknowledge what happened there. That wasn't some great, insightful thing that I thought through. That was the power of the Holy Spirit in that moment, using this. Hey, you're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Relax, come to know this. That was the Spirit working in my life, and I acknowledge that. Not me, He's there, He's present. He's working there in some weird way through golf that I can help highlight something that is of great value, how we can come to know and be in relationship with the Spirit more deeply. And I'm learning so much more in regards to this acknowledging Him. You know, in spite of my lack of knowledge and my lack of abilities, it's when I acknowledge my need for Him and when I acknowledge my shortcomings and when I acknowledge His working in my life, it's then that doors open up. It's then that truths happen. And I think that we need to stop and acknowledge Him working at this church in spite of the lack of my character or the lack of my abilities. So the first thing there is when He begins this work, when you begin to see these changes, when you begin to see Him coaxing you in a certain direction, acknowledge Him and know that it is Him. The second thing then is to respond. Once we have acknowledged that He is here and His work is true, we need to acknowledge this. Because if it is true, then what does that mean? If the Holy Spirit is in my life and He's working, I can say I believe that. But what is my response going to be? The key here, I think, is how we understand the word believe. You know, I can say I believe a lot of things. And specifically what we're talking about here, I believe that the Holy Spirit is present in my life. And I believe that He is working in me through all my circumstances, that He wants this life to be full and in the direction that He wants me to be. I can say that. I can say I believe it. But let me give you a little twist on the word believe. I'm wrapping up my career on my other life here at Whitco Schools. And for so many years, I could say that, you know, I believe the things that Whitco is doing in regards to the curriculum, in regards to how we're working with our staff. And in my department was technology. I could say I believe in how technology is enhancing the things that we're doing in our school. I could say those things. But before, there was a difference between believe there because you saw it in my actions. Because I said those things, I was also working my tail off to back up those statements that I said. How is it that I can use my position to make these things better, that we could take this technology to make things better for kids? Or how can I do this to get our teachers to be able to blah, 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 to use this? Or how is it I can support these areas? That there was a lot of action behind my belief. Now, I can see the light at the end of this tunnel here, and it's called retirement here in about 2 weeks. And there's something that's changed a little bit, because those statements that I said, I think they're still true, but you don't see the passion in it. It's beginning to be something that I'm not acting on. You know, it's time for somebody else to do this. And you get what I'm saying here? There's a difference now in belief, because now they're just these statements, but you're not seeing it backed up in my response by making these things and working for these programs. I'm not acting on what I say is true. And I think that is what we need to do here. When we make these statements that the Holy Spirit is working inside of me and I believe this, well, what is your response going to be? Is that it? Is it just something I can write down and put a check mark behind? I'm one of those that says the Holy Spirit is living in me. No, that's just a vain, worthless statement. We need to respond. And what will that respond be? Well, if I'm in the Scripture and I feel Him working, He may be calling me to respond in a number of ways. Maybe it's just some truth to be known. Maybe there's a promise that you need to grab a hold of. Maybe there's something He's asking you to change. Maybe He's asking you to praise. Maybe He's asking you to confess something or to become obedient to something. There's where your belief is going to turn into action. If you say this but believe it, you're going to respond. And I think going along with responding, I think I need to do my part to stay in tune with Him. I need to keep my ear to the ground. You know, those Indians in the old Western movies could do this. The Walking Eagle would put his ear to the ground, and he'd listen, and he'd say, 13 horses coming, 6 are brown, and 8 are Palomino, and they're carrying 45 Cal Remingtons. I don't know how those Indians did that. They kept their... How'd they do that? I don't know. Not that kind of ear to the ground. We keep our ear to the ground. How is it that we stay in communication with God? Well, right back to what Blackaby said. Because he says God's communicating to us through the Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, through our circumstances, through the church. That's why we're here. That's why several of you have got this daily Bible and you're in it every day. And when you hear Him speak, respond. The last thing here in regards to what it is that we can do to connect better, we acknowledge Him, we respond. And then I think the last thing that we can get better at is to then share that and express it. When we do encounter God through His Spirit, it's important that we do share that with people. You know, it's easy to say, I love my church. This is great. We've got some things going on. That's one thing, and it's true. But it's another thing to say the Spirit is moving at Pleasant Chapel, and people's lives are changing. We need to find this way of expressing what the Spirit is doing in our lives. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, He's a real presence in our lives. He strengthens us in order that we can express His immeasurable love to others. He's done the work. You know, our faith is different than other religions. He's done the work. In other religions, they say, do this and do this and do this. But in Christianity, we say it's done. The work has been done. That sets us apart from all other faiths. God's work has been done. Christ's work has been done, accomplished on the cross. His work is done with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is done. Christ has done the work. He has done the work in us. We need to know that. We need to know Him, and we need to grasp the love and the life that He offers for us. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for coming to know that Spirit a little more deeply. And Lord, just stay with us. Your patience is immeasurable. Your love is immeasurable. Your mercy is immeasurable. And we just ask for more of that. Chip away any wall that keeps us from knowing You more deeply through Your Spirit. We just ask all these things in Your name. Amen.